Exactly.
It's everybody's problem. It's not just one jurisdiction. It's everybody's problem. And, you know, I think that what we've sent out in the past, we had the Animal Care Partnership Cooperation Agreement. And we also sent out the bylaws for Animal Care Partnership, which Rick put together based on what the BioSolids model was. I just have a couple copies here. And really, this is probably not the kind of place to go over there, those line by line. But the framework is there for the partnership to be formed, you know. So if the jurisdictions are ready to take on this problem and work together to solve this problem, I think the framework exists. You know, if you look at the model of the BioSolids, I think it's working very well. And it could be that you have the three main players here started. And we can alleviate the fears of some of these smaller jurisdictions. And I you know, we've had conversations with them that they want a solution. I think right now there's a lot of numbers and a lot of uncertainty that are being tossed around. I think, though, that if we have some conversations with them, we can bring some of them in initially and then build on bringing those others in. This is not something that's going to be solved overnight. It's going to take many years to deal with this because we need a new shelter. I think some people are afraid that we're going to ask a big amount of money up front to pay for the shelter. Well, that's completely impractical with this thing because if we're able to bring in a 501c3 to help run this program, or as a partner 501c3, we can start, or they can start working on getting donations for a building fund, that sort of thing. And there's lots of funding out there for 501c3s, for construction on shelters and that sort of thing. So there's mechanisms in place that we could, a 501c3, if they're willing to take on this task, build up a building fund to get something set up in Taney County for that. But, you know, if we start saying it's going to, you know, cost millions of dollars to purchase the land to build something, the smaller jurisdictions are going to think, oh, wait a minute, they're going to ask us for a huge check up front. Well, we just want to get the program running because we know it's going to take some time to get the building built. The current shelter, it's, you know, it's as maintained as best it can. I think there's problems with it. But it suits the purpose right now. And if it were to go away, you'd have a bunch of jurisdictions that would be in a really tight spot, and they would have some really huge expenses facing them because if they pick up a vicious dog, what are they going to do with it? If there's nothing local, they're going to have to drive to Springfield or get in agreement with the Joplin Union system. And it gets to be extremely expensive to send truckloads of animals. And if they don't have a shelter to hold them, they're going to be driving there with one or two animals at a time, and that's going to be outrageously expensive. So I think that when you look at the numbers, it just makes sense for everybody to come together to work on a program. Don't worry about the building. You just need to get a mechanism for the program that it is running. And the first step of that is to have the Animal Care Partnership decision made that there's going to be an actual group that's going to form around this to start to work on. I think that we also have request for proposal application that it's a draft. It needs some polishing up in terms of what the partnership needs to or wants to do with this. But again, you know, I think the work that we put into this is it's just a starting point. The partnership needs to make these decisions of how the RFP is going to look like, how the partnership is going to run, and how they want the operations of the shelter to run. In terms of the health department being there, again, we can advise you and say, hey, this works, this doesn't work from our experience. But really, it's time for the partnership to develop and the jurisdictions around the table to say, yeah, we're going to work to solve this problem. Or the meetings have to end. Or you know, if there's no decision, you know, what are we doing on the table? you know, because we need to move forward with this. It's not going to solve itself. And it's, you know, I think it's that time we need to say, you know, quite honestly, are we committed to maybe looking at a partnership and, well, not looking at it, are we committed to coming together to be part of this partnership and make it happen? Or do we need to, each jurisdiction, look at solving this problem for their own jurisdictions and the individuals?
I think the real question, first off, even before this, is do we want to have animal control? And do we want to have two-part animal control? The shelter adoption side and the actual animal control side. I see those as two different issues. So do the jurisdictions, and at some point we just have to decide where we're at with this, because there's no use in doing anything else if we're not going to, if we've decided we don't want one piece of that or the other piece of that, or we're not going to do anything. I mean, there's a whole contingent out of there of people that just say, we don't have an animal control problem around our house. We take care of it. Well, they're serious. They're not, they just don't see this as an issue, and they have their own local solution. Is that morally and ethically acceptable in our resident base or our constituent base? Is that acceptable? If it is, then this is really a pretty small problem. If that's not acceptable, and we're the ones that are going to have to decide those issues, and then we just need to say, okay, this one's off the table. This is no longer, because every discussion we have that we've had for months is the same discussion. We just have it a month later. So we've got to stop discussing some of these things and say yes. Now, I'm going to tell you, by virtue of me showing up every time, it means that I think we have to do this, because if I didn't think we had to do this, I'd stop showing up. So I believe we have to do this, and I believe we have enough feedback from residents that feel like not only do we need an animal control situation, but we need some type of pipeline to a shelter adoption agency, because not every animal we capture is vicious or needs to be disposed of. It may just need a new home. And so I believe there is certainly, and we can say, okay, we're going to handle just the animal control side. So when we take into custody, when we go into an apartment that people have moved out of a month ago, and there's two dogs and a cat living in there, so what are we going to do with the two dogs and the cats? They're not vicious. They're not anything. They're unfortunate. So do we open the door and say, here you go? Or do we say, okay, we have a system of how we're going to handle these guys? Because that happens every month, or some corollary to that. So I think the first question here is, and we can just keep going back out and saying, well, we're going to talk to our folks and see if they want to do this. Well, eventually, let's make a date of how long we're going to talk, and then when are we going to do, say, yes, we're going to have to do something here. Kind of like the biosolids. It's a mess unless you do something with it, but it isn't going to go away. This stuff isn't going to go away. The more successful our county is at developing and being self-sustaining in a first-class county, the larger this issue is going to be. And that's not, it's just proven. So I would say we need to figure out, at least with the three largest entities, and then we have to apply some leadership to the smaller ones. If in fact we decide we want to do something, then we need to work with them so that they're threatened right now. They don't have enough money to do what they're going to do, let alone take care of dogs and cats. And so that's what they're seeing. And we've got to figure out a solution to that. I mean, those are the, at least in what I've distilled out of months of talking about the same things, at some point we need to go on record and say yes. So I'm going on record. Yes, Hollister believes we should do something here. And if it's obvious that the health department is not going to be the instrument any longer, then we need to figure out what the instrument is. That's Hollister's viewpoint.
I just wanted to give you some figures because we just had a flood. And through that flood, we ended up with 58 animals, the majority coming from Bull Creek, that we have been housing for them. Just from April 29th until today, we've taken in 121 animals. That's not even a month. Of those 121, 18 went home, back to their owners. We did 25 adoptions, and we transferred 57 animals out of the facility to make room through rescue groups to make room for these flood animals. 18 of those service-in animals, the owner surrendered because she couldn't take them back to her facility. So we're still currently housing 22 flood animals, along with maintaining normal operations.
And I would say that is a huge resource for the entire town. Look what happened with the flood, or not the flood, but the tornado. You know, we helped a lot of people that were in Branson that had these issues. Mm-hmm. If you don't have that resource, you're going to hear about it. You know, but if you don't hear about, you know, all the people that, you know, we pick up animals from car wrecks, we pick up animals from house fires and medical emergencies and that sort of thing. So if that resource was gone, it would quickly rise to a countywide concern from the constituents, because right now, if something happens, there's a resource there to take care of them.